What happens when the digital disruptors in real estate get disrupted? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Amy Scott, in for Molly Wood. In a growing number of cities, if you want to sell your house, you can get an instant offer from tech-enabled companies known as iBuyers. If you accept, the company may fix up the house a bit, then turn around and sell it within a few months at a tidy profit. Amidst the pandemic, the four biggest iBuyers, Open Door, Zillow, OfferPad, and Redfin, all temporarily stopped buying houses in March, in some cases backing out of deals and laying off staff. But now iBuyers are starting to come back. Mike Dilpretti has been following this corner of the market. He's a scholar in residence at the Leeds School of Business at the University of Colorado, Boulder.
You know, fundamentally, iBuying transfers the risk of selling one's home from the homeowner to the iBuyer. And somebody needs to pay for that. And that's typically the fee that an iBuyer charges. Before the pandemic, the average fee an iBuyer would charge is around 7%. But now the question is, are consumers willing to pay 10 to 12% for the ability to sell their home in this environment? I think that's one of the big questions that they're going to look at.
Some housing analysts are expecting home prices to fall this year. What does that mean for this model if these companies can't buy a house and turn around and sell it at a profit?
Typically, an iBuyer will hold a home for about 90 days. So I think the loss of depreciation will be relatively small, but it just goes to the question of fees. If they're going to lose money on that, they have to make money somewhere. It's just going to mean they have to charge higher fees.
Do you see all the iBuyers surviving?
I think the iBuyer model will survive. I'm not quite sure if all of the iBuyers will. There's only a very small number of serious iBuyers out there. Zillow, Open Door, OfferPad. They're not little scrappy startups that you know, don't have a lot of capital. These are all very, you know, there's a very small number of big, well-capitalized companies here. So I think, you know, they have the runway to get through this. It's just what the future holds, and that's a bit uncertain at this point.
How has the pandemic changed the way they actually do business in terms of buying and selling, which has been made harder by social distancing requirements?
The social distancing requirements is actually this unintended advantage of the iBuying model. They can enable consumers to transact a house without interacting with somebody else. If you want to buy a home from an iBuyer, because they own those homes, they're empty. You can go visit them, you can tour it on your own. You don't even have to go with a real estate agent. That's an activity that only iBuyers can facilitate just by the nature of their model. So the new programs the iBuyers are rolling out, they're all about doubling down on that unique competitive advantage they have compared to anybody else in the market.
When you and I have talked before, I think we've both been surprised how much people are willing to pay or give up in terms of profit on their home for convenience and for the certainty of making a sale. How do you think that equation changes in a down economy?
I think that the appeal is still there. And if you need to move and you're in kind of a cool market, where you don't know how long it's going to take to sell your home, the appeal of going to an iBuyer is quite strong. And I think folks would be willing to pay for that. If that fee gets up there too high, it does feel a little bit anti-consumer. So that's the billion-dollar question, is what will consumers be willing to pay for that convenience and certainty in a post-pandemic world?
Mike Dilpretti is a scholar in residence at CU Boulder. Last year, iBuyers accounted for just 1% of overall home sales, according to Redfin. But Dilpretti points out it's not really a national market yet. The model works best in cities like Phoenix, Las Vegas, Charlotte, where houses are affordable and pretty similar, making it easier to price them with an algorithm. Raleigh, North Carolina was the top market, with iBuyers making up about 8% of sales. And now for some related links. If you're wondering who gives up potentially thousands of dollars to sell to an iBuyer, a common theme is avoiding the hassle of getting out of the house for showings, dealing with renovations, cleaning up pet damage. One thing I've been thinking about is how all this staying at home is changing what we want in our homes, besides just a different one. In a survey from Realtor.com, more space and better kitchens naturally topped the list. But also up there was more or better technology, such as smart home features and, yes, faster Wi-Fi. And now that companies like Twitter are saying some workers may never have to go back to the office, could that change where people want to live? Bloomberg's been reporting on this. After all, why pay more than $3,000 for a Silicon Valley one-bedroom when you could rent a whole house for half that in, say, Baltimore? It's all at Marketplace.org. In Baltimore, I'm Amy Scott, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.